This program is brought to you by the partners of A Rood Awakening International. Help others find truth. Support A Rood Awakening International today.
You may have seen it on pictures, but you've never seen it like this. We have new footage and details behind the rock at Rephidim, the rock that Moses struck, that God split and provided millions of gallons of water to the Israelites and their flocks. You are going to witness footage never seen tonight. It's episode 3 of Sinai, New Discoveries with Kevin Fisher, because it's the end of the sixth day, the sun is set, and this is Shabbat Night Live. Well, Shabbat Shalom, Torah fans. Welcome to Shabbat Night Live with Michael Rood. Tonight, we welcome back Kevin Fisher. And Kevin recently went to Saudi Arabia and gathered all new footage. This is drone footage. How did he do that? We'll get into that in just a minute. And he went to the rock at Rephidim. There are details you've never seen before about this area, and you are going to witness that tonight. Also, it's the fifth and final Shabbat of the month on the astronomically and agriculturally corrected biblical Hebrew calendar. There you see it on the screen. It is the fifth Shabbat of the month of Tishri, and so we are done with all of the fall feasts. And the new moon may be seen in Jerusalem as early as Saturday night, so keep your eye on your email, and we will send you an email about that, whether it comes a Saturday or Sunday. Now, let's talk about what's going on in Saudi Arabia with our Director of Partner Services, David Robinson. Welcome, David.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. You know, we've talked about this area for a long time with lots of different guests. Jim and Penny Caldwell, I'm thinking of Randall Lee and Mary Nell Wyatt Lee. All these folks have gone to the area, and it's always been a difficult thing. I think you'll remember way back in the day in the 80s when Ron Wyatt and his sons went there and were just about killed for trying to go in there.
Right.
And now it's, as of September last year, Kevin has revealed to us that you can now get tourist visas. And I don't know how many people are looking to go to Saudi Arabia, but if you're looking to go to Mount Sinai, I mean, there's things happening there where there's villages, there's all kinds of things around that area, people willing to give you kind of impromptu tours of Mount Sinai. And so the area is coming along.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of, well, first of all, let's get into something that's happening there, because there's a big city being planned for this area all around Mount Sinai called Neom. And it's right. A very real thing. We're going to get into more of it next week. But this is something that you have a little bit of knowledge in, a lot of knowledge in, because you've done some things in your life that involved desalination. Is that right?
Well, the desalination... The company I had, we did just basic water filtration, portable with carbonite filters, different sediment filters, but we also used UV technology. And so I sold that company, I still have stuff on the desalination, having a portable desalination. So yes, this really does interest me to see what they're going to do there.
Yeah, so they're basically what they're doing in Neom is they're creating a giant desalination plant to provide fresh water to this mega city that some are estimating is going to cost, what, $500 billion with a B? So yeah, $500 billion to build this thing. And it's happening. I mean, there's contracts being signed. It's real.
It's like a Dubai 2, right? Yeah. They're just going to go there and just plop this big city down. And yep. It does concern me, though, a little bit. It does concern me because, you know, as more and more people go there to discover things, I really worry about the excavating and the things that will take place there to build an infrastructure for people to be there, because I worry about the artifacts, you know, what hasn't been discovered yet. So, yeah, that's kind of a concern for me.
Yeah, I know the folks there have, the villagers around there, you know, there's some fences put up by the Saudi government and that type of thing to recognize places as archaeological areas. But at the same time, you know, the locals are there. They're quite proud of that area. They don't want it wrecked. And they have some money to be made there as well. You know, they're sort of just saying, hey, I'll give you a tour of Mount Sinai for $500, you know, or whatever exactly. It is. And so they have a vested interest in that too. But there is some damage happening already. I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of Dr. Kim, where he was pointing to, there's an inscription of a menorah, and it's supposedly the oldest drawing of a menorah ever found. Well, Kevin has let us know that that drawing is, etching on the rock is gone now. Someone has taken it off. They've scratched it right off. So obviously someone who is not fond of Hebrew history has destroyed this.
Well, that's very sad.
So to your point, how much more of this is going to be destroyed? Maybe just by bulldozers or machines coming in there and accidentally crushing, for example, the rocks where the Israelites have traced their feet.
Exactly.
On the rocks down there. Obviously, Mount Sinai won't go anywhere. They can't very well plow down Mount Sinai.
Can't do that. That'd be pretty hard.
But if you look at the map, I mean, it's quite interesting to see that it's right across the way from Nineveh, where the Israelites crossed over. And so Mount Sinai is literally right in the middle of this giant city that is literally happening. So that is what's going on there. And Kevin's going to show us some really neat things tonight. I think you'll find it very interesting, and so will you watching it.
Yeah.
Where if you look at the rock, and he took some drone footage. I've never seen drone footage that goes this close to the rock. He goes all the way up, all the way down, all the way around. And you can truly see where the Israelites would have camped, what they would have seen, and this water that gushed out. And you can see the water erosion on the rock and how high up it goes and how widespread it is at the bottom. I mean, this was a gusher. This was a lot of water coming out.
And it must be a lot of water, you know, with that many people.
So. Yeah, and you know, it almost looks like it would have looked like when it comes up, like the Red Sea.
Yeah, the Red Sea, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a replay of that where God was reminding them that, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I took you to the Red Sea, through the Red Sea, and now I'm going to take care of you again. So Kevin has some really neat footage about this, and it's really new. He went to Saudi Arabia early in 2020 here. And he came back right before COVID hit. And so all this footage is brand new. And so if you're watching tonight and you want to see some new stuff on the split rock of Rephidim, you're going to see it. This is exciting stuff. No one has seen this because Kevin was planning to do a movie with this. He wasn't sure what he wanted to do with it. He's not exactly Tim Mahoney or anything like that, but he wasn't sure how he wanted to release this. So this is raw footage. It's rough stuff. And he just wanted to show it to everyone on Shabbat Night Live.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it myself.
Yeah, it's going to be some pretty neat stuff. Well, David, we have some interesting gifts this month for the love gift. Bill Cloud has stepped in. As everyone knows, Michael had a stroke. He is recovering. He's doing great. The nurses are really impressed with his progress. And in the meantime, Bill Cloud is very kind enough to come in and do a love gift in Michael's stead. And that's what we have this month. It's called The End Is Not Yet, a very timely message.
Yes, very much so, especially with everything that's going on now, you know?
Exactly. And we also have a blanket in there that is inscribed with something very close to Michael's heart, and that is the New Apostles' Creed. He wasn't satisfied with what the Apostles' Creed was, where Yeshua was born of a virgin, led a sinless life, died, rose again, the end.
Yeah.
You know? So this is more of what Michael likes to see on a blank, wants to see on this blanket creed. Is what he would like to see in the real Apostles' Creed.
Yes.
And so you'll see that. What else are they getting? Something about a latte mug. What's that?
Yes, a latte mug with the name and the scripture on it. I wish I had one right here that I could show you, but
it's taller though, right? It's a taller mug.
It's a little
mug?
Taller, yes.
Okay.
It's like a 16-ounce mug.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So for the
really nice
for the big time coffee drinkers,
like me.
Yeah, and there's also a beautiful picture called "Going Up to Jerusalem." It's a painting of folks. It's kind of an ancient depiction of people going up to Jerusalem for the fall feast. Wonderful thing, and you can get all of the details on that at monthlylovegift.com. Well, thanks for joining us today, David. Really appreciate it.
Great to be here, buddy. Great to be here.
All right, well, the Split Rock, as you've never seen it tonight, Kevin Fisher is coming up with episode 3 of Sinai, New Discoveries. But first, it's the Kiddush with Michael. Stay tuned.
It's no secret that 2020 has become the most unpredictable and the most disturbing year in recent memory. But the question is, what is our role as believers? Michael Rood welcomes Bill Cloud for The End Is Not Yet, a special edition love gift teaching about what is going on in our world and what you can do about it.
In a very short time, we are going to have to be making certain decisions that are going to affect the outcome, not only of this nation, but of this world. And so as the servants of the Almighty, it is very important that we seek His will.
The End Is Not Yet is an exclusive teaching you won't see anywhere. The only way to get it is to receive it as our gift to thank you for your support. Donate a $50 love gift and we'll send you The End Is Not Yet on DVD or Blu-ray. Or for a donation of $100, we'll send you the teaching plus a tall latte coffee mug inscribed with the Hebrew name of Yehovah and Michael Rood's new Apostles' Creed printed on a cozy 5-foot microfleece blanket. Or as a special offer for a donation of $300, we'll send you The End Is Not Yet, the latte coffee mug with the Hebrew name of God, the new Apostles' Creed blanket, plus a canvas print depicting ancient worshipers going up to Jerusalem for the fall feasts. These gifts are available only in October, and supplies are limited. Make your donation now and receive the $50 gift, the $100 gift, or the $300 gift. Remember, this offer ends October 31st, and supplies are limited. Thank you for your donation to A Rood Awakening International. Call now to receive your gifts, 888-766-3610, or get your gifts online at monthlylovegift.com. The Chronological Gospels Bible is changing lives all over the world, putting everything the Messiah did in exact chronological order and explaining the behind-the-scenes truth of what the Messiah did, when he did it, and why. The timing of it all means everything. And now, the Chronological Gospels can be easier on your eyes. The larger print edition features 40% larger type, and every page appears exactly the same as the original, so you can follow along with others who have the regular size version. The Chronological Gospels larger print edition also has wider margins to write notes, and the premium quality paper means you can highlight without soaking through. Plus, the larger print edition lies flat, so you can teach without having to hold the book open. The Chronological Gospels larger print edition is a big and beautiful coffee table book, measuring a full 12 inches tall and 9 inches wide. Study the Bible with clarity and ease.
I love the size of this book. This is 9 by 12. The paper is perfect because it doesn't bleed through when I write on it. I can mark it up, and I always make notes in all my Bibles. Everything is the same place as it is on the smaller version, and I can just stand back and I can teach from it, and it's the perfect size.
I pray thee, of whom speaks this prophet?
Order the Chronological Gospels larger print edition by phone or online. You'll get 40% larger type than the original. Call 800-788-7887. That's 800-788-7887. Or get the Chronological Gospels Bible larger print edition online at aroodawakening.tv/large.
Several years ago, I was in the land of Israel and having Sabbath dinner with a group of Messianic Jews. They brought out the negelvesser, the two-handled pot, and they said this prayer in Hebrew, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us by your commandments, commanding us concerning the washing of hands." I stopped, I said, this is exactly what Yeshua did not do. He said, this is takanot. This is a commandment that is added by the Pharisees, and Yeshua said, do not follow the takanot and ma'asim of the Pharisees. Don't do what they do, say you're doing it for me. Yeshua said, as often as you do this, this is what you do. You take the bread, and especially on Shabbat, we do this in remembrance of him. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. This is how Yeshua blessed the Most High, with the very blessing that Melchizedek spoke to Abraham. And Abraham saw Yeshua's day and he rejoiced because he recognized the broken body, and Yeshua said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And then Yeshua took the cup. And he said, Baruch Atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri Hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua said, this represents the renewed covenant in my blood. As often as you break this bread and you drink this cup and you say this prayer, you recognize that it is all about me. It is all about me, and that you'll be drinking this cup with me in my Father's kingdom. L'chaim. Shabbat shalom.
Find five Westerners tonight who were kidnapped earlier today by Kurdish rebels.
Amateur archaeologist believes he's found the ruins of Noah's Ark.
I would stake my life on the fact that I know where the Ark of the Covenant is.
When Ron Wyatt and his sons attempted to enter Saudi Arabia to investigate some biblical truth, they were stopped and arrested and their lives threatened. But today, that is not so dangerous, is it, Kevin Fisher? It's a lot more easy to get into Saudi Arabia now.
That's right. You know, for years, it was basically a closed country, not open to any visitors. You could not get a tourist visa. But since September of 2019, there are now tourist visas available online. You can get your own tourist visa. It's about $150. And you can travel into Saudi Arabia now. This is, you know, totally new. And so that's how I was able to get into the country, is, you know, obtaining my visa, making my plans. And I traveled there in February, March of 2020. And it was a real blessing to be able to get into the country. And I just drove out to these sites, you know, myself. And the evidence there is just, you know, so overwhelming. These are real, true biblical sites compared to going to Israel and visiting these various Catholic churches and so forth, which is half of your itinerary in a tour group. But, you know, going to the mountain of God, going to where the waters opened up at the Red Sea crossing, going to the split rock, you know, miracle after miracle, you get to see by going to these sites, and it's amazing.
It's amazing to me how Yehovah has used a people that don't necessarily even believe in him per se. They believe mostly in Allah, but they have preserved these sites that God's people, that it's the evidence of God's people.
They do believe, you know, in Moses, mm-hmm. you know, as a prophet and so forth. Ron White's first trip out there in 1984, when he, you know, saw the mountain for the first time, one of the locals there says, Jebel Musa Hena, or the mountain of Moses, is here. And so the locals, you know, knew there was a tradition. They were showing off the mountains, you know, so to speak. Mm. And so to this day, you know, the locals, you know, recognize that as Moses' mountain. So it's quite amazing.
Well, it makes their home famous too, so I'm sure they,
yes,
they
yes.
enjoy that. Now, we have spent a couple of episodes going through the Red Sea crossing, getting to the other side of the Red Sea, and now we want to get into possibly one of the most spectacular sites that people don't realize is what it is, and that is the Split Rock.
Yes, Jim and Penny Caldwell found that later. They were working for a petroleum company there in Saudi Arabia. They heard about Ron finding the Mount Sinai, and in their visits in the area, they were able to locate this rock. And it's 9 miles off the paved road to get to this. And of course, there's no sign pointing you to the Split Rock. You're out in the desert. And actually, we got lost the first time out. I shouldn't say that, should I? We got misdirected. And so I ran into a Bedouin out there, and I paid him $150 to help direct us to the rock. He jumped in the front seat there with us and took off. It's just amazing to see this huge, it's called, you know, the rock at Horeb, like, you know, the special rock. You should know where the rock at Horeb is. And that's the rock, you know, that God had Moses strike, and, you know, all this water came out. It's amazing. We'll see it here just shortly.
All right. Well, go ahead. Let's see it.
Okay. So we're going to start out from Tobruk. This is a city where you want to stay, and then drive out to these most of these sites.
And again, I wonder how long it's going to be before someone offers tours to these places.
There are some tours where they're very pricey. I like doing things myself, renting a vehicle and taking off. And there's a lot of nice sights along the way. Here's some goats or sheep with the sheep herder. And so we've turned off the main road, and we're making our way out to the split rock. We got our 4x4 truck. You gotta have that four-wheel drive to do this one.
And the Lord said to Moses, "So take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel.
So this is a site we're heading to, the split rock. It's on the other side of the mountain. You could say the backside of Mount Sinai. And this was our first view that we saw. And you can see this prominent, you know, vertical, huge.
Amazing how it even is there. I don't even understand how it
would appear like that. It's sitting like on a 200, 300 foot tall hill, sticking straight up.
And it doesn't look that large looking from here, but then I guess when you get right up to it.
It's, you know, 50, 60 feet tall.
Goodness.
It's just amazing. We made our way around the back or left side of it and parked and then came around. You can see water erosion right here where they're climbing.
Yeah, everything's smooth. That's not wind erosion.
You see the erosion in the rock. We're getting closer to it here. That's the Bedouin, the guy on the right there.
Strange, almost junkyard looking kind of area.
A lot of different formations here.
Now this is, you're gonna show us later, this is not the only rock. Everyone assumes that the two incidents happened at the same rock.
Right, there will be totally separate areas, other ones in Israel. So here is a kind of a side view of it. Now here's a front view, you could say. This is the best view of it through the crack. You see my friends walking down there on the right, but that gives you a size perspective. We're standing in front of it here. This is just massive. And the water erosion right in front here. And the water erosion in the crack even. It's just spectacular. And out there would be where they'd be encamped, the encampment area. So again, water erosion of the rock here inside the crack. You see massive amounts, a high volume of water.
Has anyone attempted to see if there is a spring underneath there?
I've not heard that. I don't see any water running around. I guess God turned the spigot off and that was it, you know?
It served its purpose.
Yeah, so we're going straight up, looking in through the crack. And so this is the backside of the rock. It's not as impressive from the opposite direction.
You know, it's almost as if God was giving them a reminder of when he split the sea. I'm sure it looked like that, all coming up and separating with a split in the middle, almost like a memorial to the crossing of the Red Sea.
Another split there, yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. And looking another view here going down.
Now the amazing thing to remember too is that this rock, providing this is the right rock, and we assume it is,
yes,
that it was solid at the time before
when Moses struck it. That's right, God split it, you know.
I can imagine the earth shaking of something like that, splitting in an instant.
Well, and being able to see that too, if you're one of the people in the encampment and seeing this thing split.
Yeah, after they had forgotten about the Red Sea crossing.
And that's right. And they're already grumbling and ready to strangle Moses.
Yeah.
Brought us out to the desert to die.
Wonderful. Well, I certainly hope there are tours out to that very soon. As you mentioned, there is no road that goes out there. Someone's going to have to build a road to go see this place. Unless you hire a Bedouin for $150.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So here it is from the ground, out in the lower area.
And that's the Bedouin fellow in the white, is that right?
Just some friends of his.
Yeah,
came up there. And again, looking down the lower area here, you can see water erosion.
It's still there. Look at that.
And down to the right would be the Mount Sinai area. Now, this is the Jehovah Nissi in the King James that was built by Moses after they defeated the Amalekites. I think it's translated as "the Lord is my banner," perhaps.
Definitely a man-made structure there, yes.
Yeah, a lot of detail originally. I think they kind of broke it up, somebody did later, looking for treasure, perhaps. Maybe they thought it was a burial site, you know.
But desert has an amazing way of preserving things.
Yes.
Even some cultures preserve their dead at the top of a dry mountain, and the body's dry.
Yeah, but this had a lot of detail work to it originally. And then, of course, the backdrop is the split rock.
You can imagine that would be almost like a lake area at one point.
At some point, it would have pulled up. Now, I ran across these inscriptions. Nobody had told me, you know, where they were or anything. But here you see, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And so they were putting markings of where they tread, saying, this land is ours. We were here. You know, here is our sandal, our foot mark, you know.
Yep,
tracing. And here some like ibex animals are being hunted. See the bow and arrow. Some more here. And, you know, is this Moses with his arms being held up on either side? You know, he had to hold his arms up for them to keep winning the battle. Here's a guy here on the right. He's like he's almost shooting down at something. Now, this is an image. I sent a bunch of these to a friend of mine. He said, this one here is the most impressive. It looks like Moses here on the right striking the rock, and it's splitting in two. Notice the rock here on the left has smaller boulders in the front.
Mm-hmm.
This does too, and it's like the rock is split, and Moses has his rod up here, and he's splitting the rock.
Wow.
So that's possible, but again, it's found here in the encampment area.
But even the detail of the rock on the left, with the two different areas of it.
Right. And so we're heading out again to another area, seeing some of our friends on the way. They're looking at the drone, thinking it's a giant flying beast. And so we're heading away, and we see some of our friends held captive here, being transported someplace, I hope not to market.
In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount.
And so now we're heading to the Mount Sinai area proper, the mountain of God, with a burned, blackened peak.
And there it is.
And so this is one way we came in from the north. It's best really to come in from the south. But this was our first view we had. I said to the guys, there's Mount Sinai. They said, what? And so behind the gas station back here, the furthest peak is a blackened peak. The closer peaks is like where Elijah's cave is and so forth. Quite amazing. There is the area in front of the mountain.
Mm.
A mountain of God.
Beautiful. walking right where the Israelites would have walked.
That's right. And so...
Wow. Moses Mount.
Yeah, so he's telling us, you know, that's Moses Mount, Mountain of Moses. So there's, you know, local tradition there. And there's the Burn Blacken Peak on the left.
Have you been up to the peak?
I've not. It's technically off limits to climb the mountain. We had this local there watching us with binoculars all the time. So Elijah's cave kind of in the middle there, and up at the top we see this tree between two boulders. We'll be taking a look at those sites. But we know that there's an altar at the base of the mountain. That's where we're headed, is to...
At the arrow there.
Yeah. Okay. And so we have to turn off the main road. You need to drive beside these buildings here to head toward the base of the mountain. Locally, that local guy there, thankfully, is helping us, you know, get to this spot. We didn't know, you know, exactly where to go.
I'm assuming without a local accompaniment, you may not be able to make it through there.
Yeah, we might still be looking for it, so it's nice to have help. I think God sent him to help us out. But so we're on the way toward the base of the mountain. We can only go so far. We're going to park up here a little ways, following the fence. And up ahead here, I'm driving and filming, but this is a parking area where you can park your truck and get out.
Well, why don't we leave it there? We're going to leave us in the parking lot, and next section here, we're going to get into Mount Sinai and get right into the Mountain of God and the Blacken Peak and see all about that. So thank you for watching, and we really appreciate your support that brings Kevin to us, Kevin Fisher. And if you would like to support this ministry, we really appreciate it. There is no sponsor. Our only sponsor is you. So we thank you for watching, and we really appreciate your support. We're going to give you a couple of minutes to do that, and we'll be right back. Well, thank you for your support of Shabbat Night Live. And when we last left you, we were in the parking lot of Mount Sinai, as any good tourist attraction has. And right now we're about to head up there. But Kevin, you're saying that there's not a lot of access up to Mount Sinai, up to the Blacken Peak. So tell us about what has happened to some folks who have tried to do that.
Yeah, technically it's off limits. The locals will be watching you like they were watching us, you know, with binoculars and waiting for us, you know, coming back to our vehicle. And so in December 2019, there was a group up there from Korea. It could have been Dr. David Kim was with them, I'm not sure. And anyway, they came back to their vehicle, and the locals there demanded that they pay $5,000 or else they would turn them into the police, basically. And they paid it. So if they see you climbing the mountain, they're going to come after you. The locals, you'll see you as a money pit. If they can intimidate you, catch you when you come down, you're going to end up paying a lot of money, or else they're going to call the police or whatever. So, you know, there's different stories. Some people have been able to get up there without being seen, you know, coming back. But technically, you know, it's considered off limits. The local gentleman there said it's, you know, off limits to climb the mountain. But, you can climb at your risk or whatever.
That's why some folks go at night or climb around the back or whatever.
Yeah, it can be, I've heard some places, you know, it can be huge drop-offs and it could be, you know, slightly dangerous. But, yeah, if you can get up there, you expect the locals to come after you when you come down, you know. So, yeah, I do have a few pictures here from the top that we'll see that Scott Parvey loaned me. But so we're going to continue here. We're walking toward the base of the mountain, the altar.
Well, this might be the center of that massive Saudi city that there is being planned.
That Neom, yes, is supposed to cover this area, unfortunately. I don't know what the future holds for this. We see the Blacken Peak in the distance. We're heading out on foot.
We're gonna have to do a lot of building to cover all that.
I know, it's just a gigantic area that they got planned out. They really need to develop this area with like a visitor center, you know, a museum, walkways like they've done over there at Jethro's home.
Even just to protect it. And you'd think
yes. They would protect this.
Yeah, more fencing.
Yeah. Possibly even with Neom on the horizon, the locals may just demand that this be protected.
Uh-huh. We're getting closer to the altar area. You can see some white marble up ahead here.
Now, people say that the black is just a different type of rock, and
it's not. It's a superficial coating on the rock. So here on the left, we see some remains of some white marble
pillars or columns
here. And if we could talk about this a minute.
Absolutely, yeah, I want to freeze it there.
So when Ron found this, it may have been 85, where we got to come back with the Saudi authorities and they got to spend more time here. On a particular stone, he saw the words Solomon on the rock. And so he believed that Solomon erected this type of shrine of some sort here near the base of the mountain. Of course, he put it near the altar, you know, as if this is the most special place, you know, so to speak. And, you know, some of the column or pieces of it are still here. I imagine most of it was carted off, you know, used in some other projects. Later, you know, people came along. So, you know, 3,000 years ago, you know, there was a shrine here, apparently, and there's some remnants of it, the white marble here. Up in the crevice there on the right, they found a quarry, or apparently this was quarried out. This is local stone and so forth, as you're kind of heading up toward the Blackened Peak. So we're going around this area. We see pieces of the columns here. And just in back of that is a corral we're going to take a look at where the animals would have been placed awaiting their donation to sacrifices.
That's a nice way of putting it.
And so Dan here is standing in the corral. It's kind of an L shape. Over here to the right is the actual altars right here.
Again, why would these be built in the middle of nowhere other than for that purpose?
Yes, it fits the biblical record. And the Blackened Peak is up there. You can't really see it from this angle. So this is the end of the corral, the start of it, so to speak. Blackened Peak in the background. And there's a stream that was coming down the mountain, a river or stream just behind this. There's a lower area. So we're stepping inside the corral.
Have any excavations been done of this area to find
animal dung and things of that nature?
I think the Saudis did do some excavating here, yes. And this corral is like separated into two halves, you know, left to right. So maybe there's two different types of animals, you know, that were placed in here. They were kept separated. And it goes a little ways and it turns right. And so the animals first coming in, you know, cannot see the execution taking place up ahead.
And that method is still used today.
Yes. So we're walking through the corral. To the left is this drop off. We're right here at the very edge. And it drops off to the stream that's coming down the mountain.
I don't think I've ever seen footage that is this up close and personal with this area.
Yes, this is up close, and we're going to fly the drone over this. Here's an opening. And then these are the altars starting on the left here. Appears to have been five. There's two here on the left. The divider is missing right here, but this appears to have been two. And then there's one there, three, four, and then one to the very right here. We don't really see too well. It appears to have been five. And with the drone, you can see it much better. So here's a start of the drone video. again, the stream bed you can see coming down the mountain. The pillars here in the foreground.
Very well thought out. This is just definitely made for a purpose.
Yes. And of course you need water, you know, in the sanctuary service, there's water that's needed. This is right, you know, basically at the source of it, you could say, as it first comes down the mountain.
Yeah, they would have everything they need here, wouldn't they?
Yes. And so it hangs right. And of course, the children of Israel never allowed to get to this area. You know, this area's off limits. You couldn't come near the mountain. This is a little bit higher view.
Did you find more of the sandal inscriptions here?
Not in this area. Of course, the longer you could look, the more likely. Again, you can see the altars. There's three on the right here in a row, and then one larger one just to the left of that. I imagine it was divided in two.
Someone would have to know what they're looking for to see that those were altars, I suppose. Oh, but there it's pretty obvious.
Yes,
isn't it?
Now you're looking straight down on them. That's a good view right there. It's amazing. Now here's all of it at once. It's really interesting.
So the animals would come on in on the
right.
On the right.
Move the way to the left, altar area to the left.
To the left. Okay.
There's the altar area.
At the bottom of the screen there. Okay.
Yes. Again, this is a biblical site, you know, amazing.
And more of the, those are more of the pillars?
Yeah, more of the, that's some of the pillars there.
Well, that would stand to reason that Solomon would build those. He did the same at the crossing site.
At the crossing site, yes, pillars. This would be more pillars. There's the Blackened Peak. And speaking of the Blackened Peak, a friend of mine from the UK went there, you know, climbed the mountain. This was approximately maybe January of 20. And when he came down, he had to pay $350. But all this money, you know. But he brought back a piece. And when he got home there in the UK, he washed it off and the black came off.
Aha.
So what does that tell you? It's just a superficial coating. And when you pick up the rocks there on the mountain and turn them over, you know, they're brown underneath. The top where the fire was is, you know, is black.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he washed his off, that was good for us to get that information. But he's very sad that the black is gone, you know. He said, Kevin, bring back a piece for me, you know, but I didn't make it up there. But
I'd tell him, give me $350 to pay off the better one.
Yeah, so that was, yeah, that was a good experiment, you know, his washing it off for us to learn, you know, how superficial that coating is. So, you know, these are not, you know, solid black rocks.
Well, we have a sample of that here that was given to us at the ministry. And you can see that again, that it's black on the top. Again, very thin. It's not thin rock, like you said, it's like a coating.
Yeah.
And then if you rub it and smell it, you'd swear it's burnt.
Really?
And so, again, there it is. And you think you're imagining it at first going, no, that's just got to be the rock. But no, it's burnt. There's some soot there. There's something.
That is so amazing. And so, you know, we were told, you know, a mountain was a smoke and that it was on fire. And then God spoke the Ten Commandments from that mountaintop, you know, amid thunder and, you know, lightning or whatever. And talk about a sight, you know, for the children of Israel, you know, to see this, to hear this.
Well, and this also puts to rest the notion or the rumor that it was a volcano.
Right.
Because this is not evidence of a volcano.
No, not at all. It's evidence of having been burned, you know.
Right.
So,
that's now, other amazing. Than the imaginary Mount Sinai at the Sinai Peninsula, named by Constantine's mother, is there any dispute of another site other than this one? If there is, I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard of another one. I think there's, you know, two or three possible sites there in the Sinai. There's not one that they really stick to 100%. But, you know, there's no evidence there like we have here in Saudi Arabia. And it doesn't fit the biblical account. It's got to be in Midian. Midian is not in the Sinai Peninsula.
Right.
And, you know, Moses fled for 40 years at a distant location. The Sinai Peninsula is not a distant location. And he was in a foreign land. So, right. Again, that's a distant location.
And all of the pieces here, like the altar, the corral, the split rock, which is, what did you say, 9 miles away or something. And all of these pieces in the general same area. This has to be it.
Yes, and then you got Elam that matches.
That too.
And Jethro, the caves of Jethro. And so, you know, this site here, these sites here in Saudi Arabia, 100% correct. I mean, this has to be the mountain. And God's preserved it, you know, for the last people to see, you know, basically. We should appreciate, you know, what he has done for us in bringing this out.
I find it very curious that as Neom is being planned, right around this area, and if you haven't looked it up, look it up. This is being planned.
Yes.
That the tourist visas are suddenly available. It's almost like God has opened up the last effort for people to be going in, taking examples of this, taking photos, taking footage, proving it before maybe
destroyed.
Something happens to
yeah,
it.
Something yeah, something could happen to any of these sites. It'd be tragic. Yes. So we'll continue here with our video. And so there's the burned peak. And as we're leaving the altar area, heading back toward the car, we saw these carved images of these appear to be folks that are dancing.
Now, this is not the altar to the golden calf,
no,
is it?
No, it's not. So here we can give a relation to the mountain. We're turning back here toward the southwest, and we look. And could this have been carved at the time of the golden calf? Perhaps, you know, they're here dancing.
It would make sense. Some kind of revelry.
It could have been during the golden, although this is not next to it, but it's, you know, it's in the general area, so to speak. You see the ibex.
Maybe that was a ticket booth to get tickets to the party.
To the party. So at this point, we're going to look up at the tree between two boulders. Some people have wondered, could this have been the burning bush?
Hmm.
And Moses climbed the mountain up there, and God spoke to him. If you notice, every time God spoke to Moses, basically, he had to go up on the mountain when the children of Israel were there. Well, perhaps this is a way for God to get him up there, and God spoke to him.
You are able to get right up next to
it. Yeah, this is Scott Parvey shared this with me. These are huge boulders here, and this is a tree.
Has anyone tried to determine the age of that tree?
I don't know. Now, there's the blackened peak there in the distance.
Okay.
Kind of gives you how it's related and position. And here are a couple of guys there next to it.
Wow. So this tree is not on, or is it on Mount Sinai?
It is. It's the mountain just to the right of the burned peak.
Okay.
And then the plateau's on the other side of this, basically.
So it's right above Elijah's cave then.
It is, yeah. So there's Elijah's cave.
I understand that is quite a hike.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
And it's not that deep.
It's plenty deep, though, you know, for one person, a few people. But look at the view he had out his living room window here. The view of the valley below.
And apparently, from that vantage point, you can see the altar to the golden calf.
You can, yes. I hear Scott turned around and got in the back of it. And you can see it's got some depth to it.
Oh, it does, too.
The view out here. See the main road down there?
Yeah, the one where everyone is absconded for their money.
Yes. The ticket place.
Yeah.
And so here is a close-up of the blackened peak, some more pictures of it. This would be kind of from the plateau area looking over to the west. And again, the blackened peak.
And there you can see some of the light-colored rocks where
it's
not all uniform. It's
right.
Not one type of rock. Some people have suggested, well, it's basalt on the top and something else on the bottom, or vice versa?
Yeah, it's burned on the surface.
Wow.
So there's the view from up there on the Black and Peak. See the valley.
Where Moses saw all the nonsense going on.
All the dancing. Yeah, so there's the mountain, there's the Black and Peak.
Now, when was this footage shot?
So I shot this February and March of this year.
Oh, that recent?
In 2020. And when we got back to D.C., they asked us there as we're exiting the airport, trying to get out of security, customs, where we had been. You know, they said, hey, have you been to China or Iran? And, of course, I said no, and they said we could go. So that was good. We were not quarantined.
I was going to say, did you get caught in quarantine? You
right. Just made it back in time.
So it was very fortunate for us to be able to leave with no problems.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, Kevin, we're going to hang on for one more show, I think. We've got some of your video here left, and I think there's some golden nuggets we can share.
Sure.
So what can we expect in the next show?
We're going to take a look at the burial site. There were 3,000 that were killed when they refused to repent when dancing around the golden calf. God ordered them executed. And we'll also be going to the golden calf altar, those sites. So we'll see that in the next program.
Oh, wow. The best for last.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us again. And
sure.
Thank you for joining us. We certainly appreciate you watching Shabbat Night Live. Have a great weekend. We will see you next week. Until then, Shabbat Shalom.